presenting Pop Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast. Ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay. This is Pop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's Ace of the Airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Pop Harrigan.
Fellows and girls, today is the 40th anniversary of the Army Air Forces. And don't think that the men with wings have been sitting back twiddling their thumbs since the Germans and the Japs learned the hard way what it means to tangle with 14 million Americans in uniform. Just recently, the Army Air Forces took a look back at the first 6 months of this year, and there was plenty there to be proud of. So let's go over a few of their accomplishments so far this year. 1947 was only 3 days old when Army Air Forces revealed a new rocket-powered underwater bomb, rather like a tiny submarine. This bomb set new speed records for underwater craft. Buzzing through the sea, it speeds up to 80 miles an hour, and brother, on water, that's fast. Said the Army Air Forces, this opens the way to rocket-powered subs or jet propulsion for subs, giving them tremendous speed and long range. So, strange as it may seem, the Army Air Forces began the year with a new weapon for the Navy. Then came the new Boeing B-50 bomber on January 8th, bigger and better than the famous B-29. And a few days later, four Lockheed P-80 jet planes completed the first long overwater flight ever made by aircraft of their type, flying from Luzon to Okinawa. On its domestic all-weather transport routes, the Army Air Force has said early this year that it had turned in 6 months of flying with 98% of all trips completed. And that's only the beginning. I'll tell you more later about the Army Air Forces in 1947, so don't forget to listen. And now for our story. Resuming normal routine operation of their airport, Hoff and Tank almost became involved in an accident with a giant DC-4 transport in New City, through no fault of their own. And as the massive four-engine plane owned by the Ace Flying Service taxied to a stop on the apron beside them, they saw the pilot jump out and start to run, his face a mask of terror. To the boys' offers of assistance, the co-pilot turned a cold shoulder and almost rudely asked them to leave. Reluctantly, the boys complied. As we continue now, it is late the following morning. A good-sized crowd of people is clustered around the hangars of the Lakeville Airport, watching Hoff and Tank put on a thrilling exhibition of aerobatics in celebration of Army Air Forces Day.
I'll skip my real Lollapalooza now. Make them sit up and take notice.
Oh, big Tank, what do you think we've been doing?
Well, we can do better. Come on, turn the ship inside out.
That's what I'm afraid we'll do. This speech isn't a sunshine, you know.
You go. Let's go. Give them a fair symbol.
Okay.
Hang on to your hat. Take it as swiftly. Six back. And on the way go.
Oh, boy,
that was a tip. I'll bet
they're
reaching it up down there.
I hope so. Well, that's about all we can do. I scraped the bottom of the barrel.
What about our wind-up?
Getting ready for it. Stand by the bell.
All set.
Okay, going into the first letter. Open the valve.
As Tank moves the small lever, Hop jams full power into the ship and roars up in a long, slanting zoom. And billowing white smoke streams out of a long pipe set under the fuselage. For the climax of the performance, the boys are spelling out the words Air Forces Day in the bright, sun-washed sky. On the field below, standing by the steps of their small office, Gail watches the Beechcraft proudly. Standing beside her is Sheriff Quimby.
Well, the boys are putting on a good show. Yeah, sure are.
Isn't it wonderful, Sheriff?
Uh-huh. Let's see, what have they got so far? A-I-R...
They're spelling out Air Forces Day.
Uh-huh. Knew they'd forget something, my dumb.
What?
They didn't dot the I.
Oh. Listen to the crowd. They love it.
I can't say as I blame them. I don't like it myself.
There, they finished Air Forces.
sure do write pretty, don't they?
If you ask me, they do a better job up there than they do on paper.
They're starting the last word now.
Boy,
excuse me, Sarah.
Sure thing.
Yes, can I help you?
Well, this is the Lakeville Airport, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Good. You know where I can find Hop Harrigan?
Oh, he's flying right now.
Oh? He doing skywriting?
Yes.
I might have known it. They're finished now, Miss Orton.
Well, that's all there is. Show's over.
Well, sure was a good one while it lasted. Well, guess I'll be buzzing along. So long.
Bye.
Oh, you're Gail Nolan.
Yes. Do I, I'm sorry, but I don't remember ever having met you.
You haven't. But I've heard a lot about you. My name's
Paul Conway. Paul Conway. Oh, yes, of course, I remember now. You were in the Pacific with the boys, weren't you?
That's right.
Well, they'll be awfully glad to see you.
I hope so.
There, they're coming in for a
lesson.
Let's
go to Edward and
Newton.
Hey, boys,
that's quite a setup. Oh, it's small, but they're doing a very good job with it. Let's wait here.
All right.
Fine.
The folks like it?
They loved it.
I thought it was terrible.
What?
I'm just trying to get a rise out of them.
Oh, you did, huh? Who do you think you are?
Hey, Hank, take it easy.
Why don't you guys learn how to fly? Well, handle a ship like it was a scow.
What do you know about it?
Hey, wait.
Hi, Ed Thinker. Remember me?
What? It's Conroy. Paul Conroy.
Well, big button. How goes it?
Oh, fine, Paul. Just fine.
Well, but Jenny's, it's good to see you. Put it there, pal.
I didn't recognize you. Civvies, how are you? What are you doing out?
I've gone into business for myself.
Oh, good for you. Well,
what are you doing around here?
Well, I just dropped over to see you and chew the fat. Tell me, how's it going?
Oh, just fine.
Did you hear about us?
Oh, now,
the
wait a minute. Let's not start that out here. Come on over to the house, all of you. We'll have some lunch, and then you can talk to your heart's content.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Well, we're
And I guess that about brings us up to date, Paul. As you can see, we haven't had too much spare time on our hands.
I'll say.
Hey, Gail, can I have another glass of milk and a piece of pie?
Mm-hmm. I've been waiting for that. How about you, Paul?
No, no thanks. No more for me.
Huh?
No, thanks, Gail.
I see Tank still has his appetite.
Oh, nothing will ever change that. Here you are, Tank.
Thanks. Is this your aunt, Fi? Didn't you tell me you were living with your aunt, what's her name?
Oh, Aunt Agatha.
Yeah, she's the best cook in Lakeville.
The local ladies' aid is having a luncheon this afternoon. She'll be back later.
Well, now, we've been monopolizing the conversation, Paul. How about your taking over for a while?
Yeah, what kind of business are you in?
Can't, not with your mouth full.
You're getting to be just like Aunt Agatha. So, well, what's the score, Paul? What are you doing? Well, I'm a partner in a small airline. We fly charter trips, cargo, passengers, anything.
Hey, it sounds good.
We operate down south, mainly.
Uh-huh. How many ships do you have?
Well, we have three right now. Two DC-4s and a DC-3. They're converted Army transports.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Well,
what's the name of the line? The Ace Flying Service.
Paul Conroy quietly voices the name of his airline, and Hop and Gale look at each other quickly while Tank sits absolutely still, a forkful of pie held in midair. They all remember the hysterical Ace Flying Service pilot who almost ran them down the day before in New City. Just what is the connection? We'll know in a moment, gang, so stand by.
Now, gang, since today is the Army Air Force's 40th anniversary, it's only fitting that we pay tribute to this great team and its new steps forward in the first 6 months of 1947. On the 1st of March, an important anniversary was celebrated. The Battle Wagon of the Skies, the B-17 Flying Fortress, first of the forts to take the air, was 10 years old. Under the stars and stripes, these mighty bombers had given a full decade of service, and they're still a vital part of our fleet in the skies, together with their newer, larger sisters. Later in March, the newsy items from Army Air Forces told of two successful test flights, one by the Strato Freighter, the huge high-flying cargo plane that carries more than a boxcar load of supplies or equipment, and the other successful test flight was made by one of the revolutionary jet-propelled bombers built by North American. In April, another jet bomber flew, the consolidated Volpe XB-46. And don't forget, gang, that the Army Air Forces are as interested in personnel as in planes. Right now, a new crop of air cadets is growing up. These young fellows go to flying school, get Army training, and graduate as officers. They're taught to fly the newest planes, from huge bombers to stubby-winged jet fighters. They are the men who are keeping our country in the forefront of aviation progress and making sure that come what may, the United States will have military aircraft and men to fly them unexcelled anywhere in the world. Until final lasting peace through international cooperation is assured, the men and the planes of our Army Air Forces are the guardians of the victory they did so much to win. So on their 40th anniversary, we send our congratulations to the Army Air Forces. And fellows and girls, always remember, America needs fires. And now for our story. Seated in the kitchen of Aunt Agatha's house, Paul Conroy suddenly throws a bombshell into what had been light, pleasant conversation.
The name of my airline is the Ace Flying Service.
Ace?
That's right.
Hey, Hop, that DC-4 yesterday in New City, the one that almost landed on top of us.
Yes, Tank. That was one of our ships.
Holy cow, you better teach your pilot some air regulations, pal.
Tank, our boys are all veterans who have logged more than 10,000 hours each. We don't have to teach them anything about flying.
But that pilot...
He was sick.
Yes, you're right, Miss Miller. I just left him. He's very sick. I don't think he'll ever fly again.
Oh, what a shame.
Paul, feel like telling us what it's all about?
Go on, Hop. You know that's why I came here.
Well, go ahead. Shoot. Hey, Conroy, did you know your pilot thought a Jap was after him, a Jap Zero? Can you imagine? Some pipe dream.
It was no dream. He actually saw Zero.
Are you kidding? The war's over, pal. Wake up.
Better tank.
Go on, Paul.
I spoke to the co-pilot. He was pretty shaky himself, but he wasn't as bad off as Frank.
Frank was the pilot.
Yes, that's right. Larry the co saw the very thing that drove Frank mad. A Japanese Zero. Diving down at them and making a pass, exactly like they did during the war.
I don't believe it.
They saw it, I tell you. And not only that, they heard the engine, they heard machine gun fire, and they heard the voice of the jet pilot.
Great Scott.
It's impossible.
Yes, I know it's impossible. It sounds like a nightmare. But Larry swears it's true, and I believe him.
Oh, what did the Jap pilot say?
Well, Larry couldn't remember exactly the words that he said, but he identified himself as a Jap that Frank had shot down somewhere over Guadalcanal. He said that he was coming back to exact vengeance.
Oh, brother, that's the best one I heard yet.
Well, it's true. Believe me, it's true.
Well, how can you be so sure? Maybe they were both suffering some sort of, well, delusion.
Might be a trace of war hysteria, hidden neurosis.
Yes, I thought so myself. Until I got a phone call from New Orleans this morning. Our DC-3 made a belly landing down there. The pilot was hysterical. Forgot to drop the landing gear.
Not because...
Yes, Miss Nolan. The only difference being, he'd been in the European theater of operations. He saw a German Messerschmitt.
His voice low and intense, Conroy unfolds a weird, blood-chilling story. Hop suddenly realizes all this is no figment of an overworked imagination. Something is going on. Something is happening to the planes and pilots of the 8th Flying Service. But what? Where could former enemy fighters come from? Gang, action and suspense pile up thick and fast in the next episode of The Riddle of the Ghostly Avengers. So be sure to listen.
Tune in and fly with Pop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.